The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Story about the Buddha that's told in the ancient texts. And the story involves some man comes to the Buddha, and he's angry at the Buddha. There are people who, for a variety of different reasons, were angry with the Buddha, partly because he had a different teaching that they were adhering to, or maybe because they were threatened by his teachings, or who knows why. But there are many reasons why people get angry at a spiritual teacher. So he was angry, and the Buddha sat and the way the text talks about suffused him with loving kindness, with goodwill. In other words, the Buddha kind of thought about him, had an attitude towards him of goodwill, of kindness, of friendliness. Didn't say anything, but just kind of, that's what he did, was just held him in goodwill. And then the anger in this man, hostility in this man, disappeared. And then he sat down, and then they had a conversation. That's the story. this has been one of the values, or one of the practices that are highly valued in our tradition, the practice of loving kindness or goodwill. The Pali word is metta. And to be able to approach whatever is going on with the well wishing for everyone concerned. So, what is it that, how is it that we can have goodwill, well wishing towards others, and at the same time have it towards ourselves? And to be able to kind of go through the world with this kind of well-wishing attitude, and to kind of generate a certain degree of compassion, of kindness, loving kindness towards self and to others. And then the question is, how do you generate such a thing, and why should you? And the best answer I have for that is that there is no should. You don't have to do it. But it is a capacity of the heart. It is a capacity we have to be loving, to be friendly, to be kind, to have goodwill. But we also have the capacity for ill will and hostility and those things too. So why should we choose one over the other if they're both, capacities that we have? The best that I can understand is goodwill and ill will come from different places within us. That ill will, I think of, is much more of a surface reaction that comes from the places in our hearts and the minds which involve a lot of suffering, a lot of pain. And that goodwill comes from places in our heart and our mind that are associated with deeper inside, that come with the absence of pain, the absence of contraction, the absence of defensiveness, where there's kind of a relaxed sense of ease and safety within. And in that safety, the heart feeling safe, it's a pretty natural thing for us to offer goodwill or have goodwill to the world around us. And I think I'm influenced with this kind of little theory about it all because I was not interested in metta, in goodwill, whatsoever when I was introduced to this practice. And sometimes the teachers would do a guided loving-kindness meditation, and I would tune them out because it was too sentimental and too kind of artificial, this idea of generating goodwill and things like that. And I just continued my practice, my vipassana practice. And then at some point, I settled in and got settled, and my heart felt safe and open. And then to my surprise, this tremendous sense of goodwill and metta arose and started to radiate from me. And sometimes I just would have it without any object to it. I just feel all this love. And sometimes it had objects, the people around me or the people I knew or towards myself. And I wasn't trying to have it. It wasn't like I had this idea, this is a good idea. It was just like, it was as I relaxed, as the practice got my mind to soften, relax, my neurosis kind of fell away, and the surface mind, the surface chatter started to fall away. And I had a chance to let this deeper heart to kind of come forth. Then this is what came up. And so I started to identify it myself as a kind of a natural capacity that had been buried for many years. But if I kind of trusted it and relaxed and settled in that I could tap into it. And now it's become kind of almost second nature. It seems like it's always, I don't know if it's always there, but I feel like I can call on it pretty easily if I want to. And I feel like it's an invaluable part of who I am, and it's just there and it's available. And it feels much more a place of stability within than occasionally I'll have some ill will or irritation towards someone. And that just feels like it's just kind of surface chatter. It really feels like it's not me. It just feels like it's kind of, I don't know, something that's going on, certainly within me, but I don't identify with it. It's not something that sticks or I feel so drawn into and pulled into. Whereas the goodwill, that feels more central and more part of the rootedness who we are. So one of the answers about why to have goodwill could be that it's natural to do that. It's, it represents kind of what's in there. And it's appropriate. I think it's an appropriate thing to regard each other with goodwill, with friendliness, with care, that we're each other's caretakers in this world. The world is, you know, that at least in the Dharma world is a world of mutual benefit, and that just means, it doesn't just mean the world of Dharma practitioners, but it means when we understand the Dharma, that then we understand we live in a world system where mutual benefit is the name of the game, that we can't just kind of disappear and just be a hermit in a cave. Without any kind of contact with others and support from others, we are nourished by this reciprocal relationship of self and other. And so as we develop goodwill and loving kindness, a certain tenderness, a kind of gentleness of the heart, that feeds us and it feeds the world. And as we feed the world with goodwill, the world responds accordingly in some kinds of ways. And that feeds us as well and feeds others. And so this wonderful way that we benefit, ourselves and other people benefit, when we have the welfare of everyone concerned in our mind. What's the greater good for everyone that we are involved in? And this is one of the things I've learned to do when there's conflict, and when I'm in conflict with someone, is not to live in an oppositional relationship to the people. And as if it's a zero-sum game, like one person's going to win, one person's going to lose. But to consider what's best for everyone concerned here. There's a different point of view, there's a different, this person has wronged me, and so I'm going to make sure, they get their just rewards, I don't do that. Rather, it's what is it that's greater good for everyone involved, given the circumstances, not to deny what happened, not to deny the conflict, but how can I consider what's best for me and what's best for others as if it's we can all benefit? And that attitude is an attitude that has arisen out of this sense of goodwill or metta that this practice has brought forth in me. And I feel that's a tremendous resource, our mutual goodwill. And it's a support for mindfulness, it's a support for deepening practice, and it's a manifestation or expression of our practice as well. So you might try, as you go through your days this week, to ask that question in different circumstances. What's the greater good for everyone involved? What's the greater good for everyone? So it's not, we don't have to be altruistic, like I could sacrifice myself for the welfare of others. What's the greater good for everyone? Myself and the others, for we as a whole group, what's the greater good? And in asking that question, see if that question helps you to tap into a place of an attitude or a feeling of goodwill or friendliness or mutual caring, which is, I think, in every heart, ready to be tapped into. So it's kind of a reminder. Where is that? So what's the greater good for everyone involved in this situation? That's a great question to go through the carry with you through your life. So those are my thoughts for today. Thank you.